Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. First, we have some somber news. I don't know if you guys heard, but James Earl Jones passed away yesterday, so rest in peace to him.
And even more sad, we're both out of the freaking thing already.
Yeah, I was going to segue there. I was going to give some actual respect before we just, you know.
We can restart if you'd prefer not, me not to use it.
No, that's
joke.
Okay. We're live. We do it live.
We're live.
So.
All right.
If you want to look like the a-hole, that's on you.
The pressure. I feel it in my heart.
But we are sad to say that this week, three people have been eliminated from the survival pool. So Mike Cantwell and myself all trusted a team from Ohio to be able to beat the New England Patriots. And, oh my gosh, they could not. Didn't they make like some crazy punt when they should have?
It depends who you ask, Andrew. But yes, they punted with like a little over 2 minutes left, 4th and 5, deep in their own territory. But it's like, dude, you guys haven't been able to get like a defensive stop all day. Would you rather have Joe Burrow on 4th and 5, or would you rather trust your defense that hasn't been able to stop anything? And they punted and then proceeded to give up like 3 first downs and lose the game. And I was just like, come on, guys, you did this on purpose despite me. And really, though, the stupidest decision of the entire thing was that you and I didn't make a point to pick a different game from each other and double the odds of, like, you know, one of us making it farther. So there'd be some kind of, like,
I wanted to stakes. Win. Then I wouldn't have to buy anyone a T-shirt, but, you know.
Right?
That's what I
now
get.
Now we're just going to have to, like, give people advice and see if anyone trusts us.
I can't
which
believe.
We've thoroughly unearned.
I can't believe my wife made it further than me in the pick-ems.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'm
your father-in-law has also made it farther than me, and all he did was go with my initial pick. My initial plan was, I was like, I'm just gonna pick against the Panthers.
That's what everyone
and
else
then,
did for the most part.
Oh my gosh, I was like, eh, and then I was like, no, we'll play it safe.
Yeah, I didn't trust the Saints
week 1.
Yeah,
stupid.
But there are 10 people left in our survival pool, so may the odds be in their favor, and things are gonna get crazy as football goes on. Anyways, I'm one of your hosts, Rob. Join with me, my friends, Mike.
Hey, you.
And Lou.
Gracias.
And we like to start off each podcast with an icebreaker. You got a question for us, Mike?
Yeah, so we're going to call this little icebreaker anti-hipster takes. Or I'm still workshopping it. We could also call it bandwagon seal of approval. Basically, I just want to know, what is something that everybody already knows about that's super popular, but you're also kind of like, yeah, I like it. I too like we don't talk about. I think we sometimes try to like avoid saying the obvious and popular thing sometimes. So I just want to know something that's big and popular that you also like.
You want to start us off?
And I can go first. I really like Stranger Things. There, I said it.
Even season 3?
No, I was not a big fan of season 3, but I thought season 4 redeemed itself beautifully. And I also thought the first half of season 3 was some of the best TV I'd ever seen. I just thought the direction they went with the second half got a little too cheesy for my taste. And that's coming from somebody who really likes Cobra Kai. So, you know. Yeah, but overall, you know, I like the dark, grimy aesthetic of the show. I like the homages to Stephen King and Spielberg and, you know, all that good stuff. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that 5th season more and more every day. So there's my anti-hipster pick.
Are they doing a 5th season? I thought they were going to be done after 4.
No, 4 was a huge cliffhanger. Hmm. Well, not really cliffhanger. So I don't know if I've talked about Save the Cat on this podcast or not, but I read a book called Save the Cat Writes a Novel. It's basically just a plotting method that you can do for like having a structure for your story. And most stories will have, you know, you'll see there's this point where everything comes to a head and everything collapses and you have like the darkest possible moment, and that kind of leads into the final act where the hero has to overcome the big bad, whatever that may be. And that's kind of where they left us at season 4, where it's like, okay, we kind of made it out alive, but like, holy crap, did hit the fan, if you know what I mean. And so season 5 seems like it's ramping up to be the final confrontation, and they're going to wrap it up after that.
I wonder what D&D villain they're going to use, because Vecna's already pretty big in the D&D lore there.
Yeah, I have my theory, but I'll keep it to myself. Ooh, it's going to be avoid spoilers.
I don't know. I haven't watched season 4, so. Lou, you got one?
Oh, I'm going to go for One Piece. Nice. I was pretty against One Piece for a long time, just because of how long it is, because how much people...
But do you like Naruto, but you're against One Piece?
I grew up with Naruto. I did not grow up with One Piece, so I have a complete bias towards Naruto. And I still, I'm on like episode 300 on One Piece, I still believe pound for pound Naruto is better, in the sense of characters at least. But the story progression can be slow in One Piece, but overall, it's crazy how they've gone so long and have remained such a good piece of art. So that's my one.
I completely forgot about this, so I'm just going to say Dungeons and Dragons. It's a fun time. Nice. Would recommend. It's,
I think that's still pretty... Well, they did make a movie.
No, it's hit the mainstream. It hit the mainstream.
Especially comparatively. Critical Role is why it hit the mainstream, sir. But also, both of those. Both of those were reasons. I just wanted to...
did you guys see that movie? The Dungeons & Dragons movie?
It was a fun movie. I went in with no expectations. It was fun.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I'd be down to watch it on streaming on a late night.
I think it's on a pizza. HBO, maybe?
I have that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't go in expecting anything crazy, but it's like if you go in with no expectations, you'll have a fun time.
Yeah, it looks like a fun summer movie.
Sadly, it flopped, so I don't think we're going to get a second one. Because they released it, gosh, what were the big ones? It was between something and I think it was right after the Mario movies when they released it, so they were just doomed from the start.
I'll say it, Mario movie, also a fun time. I enjoyed every second of that movie.
I watched the first like half of it. It was okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I enjoyed every second, but it was okay. For a kid's movie, yeah. I just wish the voice actors would have tried a little harder, except for Jack Black. Jack Black actually tried in this one, unlike what it looks like he's doing in the Minecraft movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't try for the Minecraft movie either. No. That's just...
Oof. Lou, did you see the Dungeons & Dragons movie? I'm sorry, I think I cut you off there.
Oh, I did, yeah. That's why I recommended it. Yeah, it was pretty solid. I enjoyed it. Nothing... It was just like, I don't know, it kind of did feel like a session. If that makes any sense, if anybody plays, with a lot less inappropriate jokes on my end. I would have put a little bit more. But...
I think the perfect way to end that would be, like, zoom out, and they're just, like, five people at the table, like, yeah, that was a fun time. See you next week or something, and, you know, it's up for the sequel. But I guess that was too meta for them.
Rough.
But, Mike, this was your week to choose the topic. What are we talking about this week?
This week we are talking about our top 5 picks for hidden gems. Doesn't matter what the topic is, they just have to be things that you think slap that don't get enough recognition.
Why don't you start us off with your number 1?
I'll start us off with our number 5.
No, you go from 1 to 5.
Go backwards. We'll go.
Everybody, we'll meet in the middle.
Lou starts at 3, you know.
It's just chaos. We're just rolling. We rolled a D5. That's a new thing. My number 5 is a video game that I know a decent number of our listeners will have played because I have been pushing it relentlessly for the last few months. That is Tricky Towers. Tricky Towers is available on Switch, PS5, PS4, Steam. I imagine it's available on Xbox and other Xbox lettering. But essentially what it is, it's a cheap game. It's like 10, 20 bucks, somewhere in there. And it's like Tetris, right? You have all the same pieces from Tetris. But instead of them just sticking wherever they land, like, you know how you can just set a piece down in Tetris and like normal gravity would tip over, but it's kind of got Minecraft physics, so it just sticks there. None of that is here. Regular physics engine applies, And the goal, instead of keeping your tower as low as possible, is to build your tower up. And so you're racing to a finish line in the sky. And all on its own, that's fun. But then you get power-ups every so often. And every time you get a power-up, you have the option to either give yourself a boost to, you know, help yourself out, or give everybody else something to slow them down or mess them up. It's wacky. It's very much just a chill party game to play with your friends. And I cannot recommend it highly enough for the price. Definitely worth giving it a look.
I think we've played one or two matches, you and I, and it does have couch co-op, so that is a plus.
Yeah, it has up to 4-player multiplayer co-op, or you can play online. I think, Lou, did you play with us?
I did.
One time? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good chaotic time.
It was.
Just wait. Once we get popular, we're going to hold Tricky Tower tournaments.
Dude.
Fun.
I'd be there for it.
Well, Lou, what's your number 5?
Ooh, my number 5, and I just want to thank you, Robert, for bringing up anime. Because now I finally found it. So I'm a pretty basic... when it comes to anime.
Why did we add this?
It's a learning curve. We'll get there. We'll learn.
It is a learning curve. I'm going to practice with it. But not too much.
He's just going to be sitting in his basement timing out how long all his swears are.
With a stopwatch. Like a track star.
It's down to the millisecond for when to hit it.
Yes, I'm a pretty basic person when it comes to anime. But I did get put onto this anime called Ping Pong and the Animation. And pretty freaking good. I don't have to explain much of it because it's literally in the title, Ping Pong Animation. And it's a little racist.
It's okay, my next pick is too, so.
Okay. Well,
I do not have any racistness on my list.
It is Japanese people making fun of Chinese people, so I don't know.
Oh, it's that kind of racist.
I don't know. But really good. I love there's like two main characters. Honestly, Mike, I think you would like this. The animation's super solid. For Ping Pong, man.
You know what I always say, as long as it's racist and the animation's solid, I'm there for it.
Well, I mean, I'm just, you know. I don't want some random kid from Sweden to look this up and be like, yo, Papa Lou recommended this anime to me. You know what I'm saying? I gotta
give it a hard time, man. I couldn't pass it up.
Nah, it's cool.
Gotta give a warning.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know, 12 episodes. It's not 300 episodes like One Piece.
Oh, nice. Okay, so consumable.
It is, yes. It's
almost
decent.
British in its length.
I'll end it with
really
that. No,
that's
cool.
In the British. Anyway, continue.
Is it
like Fox shows where they just cancel them super early? Or do they plan it out that way?
They plan it out that way. It's just a quick little thing. It's really nice.
I was talking about British shows.
Oh, say. I don't know how we went. Isn't it my pick?
Yeah, but...
Is it my
pick? Just want some context.
I'm apparently talking today. British shows are famous for just running like a season or two and then stopping. Like, they don't go as long as American shows traditionally do.
How does it compare to the volleyball anime?
It is on par, I think. It's on par. I love the volleyball anime so much that I probably won't go back to it until I'm like 40.
Out of curiosity, is there a billiards anime? Because I feel like that would really be the one that I'd be interested in.
Are you playing God right now, Mike? Because I feel like you are a little bit.
I don't know what that means. In this context, at least.
I don't know. I just think it's funny that whatever I say gets put on the pod now, so.
Going for the sound bites.
Censor me anymore.
<It's> so long.
You really got to enunciate those swears, you know?
Yeah.
Rob wanted it to be 5 seconds, all right? I trimmed it way down.
No, yeah. You said 10 seconds. I said, hey, it can only be 5 seconds. So.
Oh, okay. So I just saw one that was 10 seconds. I was like, whoa, 10 seconds. And then you were like, it's only... This is making more sense. I thought you were like, no, 5 specifically. I was like, if you say so.
No, that'd be way too... That's our long, like, you know, there's just a string of vulgarity that, you know, I can't right. censor out without it just sounding weird.
Yeah, I feel you. Those were the sounds that happened in between the bleeps, by the way.
Oh, okay. I was a little confused. But...
Yeah, I realized there was no context for it, and it would make no sense.
My number 5?
Stays in the pod, baby. Stays yeah, let's hear it, Rob.
So my number 5 for Hidden Gems is the Arkenstone of Thran, also known as the Heart of the Mountain.
Nerd.
I'm nice. Just joking. That's not it. Okay. Nice. I just I wanted some actual gem pun. And I was going to go with the Mithril, but that's more of a metal. So anyways, my number 5, my real number 5, is something I just tried the first time this past weekend. And it's something I never heard of until this year. But it's probably already one of my favorite desserts, and that's a baked Alaska.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you guys know what a baked Alaska is, but it's basically like this amazing ice cream cake. And it looks very intimidating, but we found a YouTube video that makes it super easy. So basically you just... scoop whatever flavor of ice cream you want into a bowl, fill it up, kind of stick it together, put a thick, we put pound cake on the bottom to kind of insulate the bottom, put it on there, put it in the freezer, freeze it for like 3 or 4 hours. During that, when it's near the end of that, you're going to make your own meringue. Yeah, I think that's pronounced it. Mm-hmm. Also really easy. Pull out the cake, put the meringue on, then you take I think you can put it in the oven, but that's risky, but I just take a butane torch and you just...
Yep.
Burn the meringue, and it is super good, especially fresh. And it actually, the meringue doesn't really freeze in the freezer, so we still got some left, and it's still very good. But I'm just like, when I saw it, I think it was on some YouTube video, like famous things from each state, I'm just like, why the heck has no one told me this existed? Because there's so much of things I love, and I went 28 years without knowing it was a real thing. And man, it is delicious. It looks intimidating, especially if I guess you can flambé it too, but just do the easy way and you'll have a great dessert that you can share with people.
Yeah, I worked at a restaurant in my late teens, early 20s. It was Bravo Cucina Italiana. And one of the desserts, only if you called ahead and ordered it in advance with your reservation, was the baked Alaska. I think we flambéed it. And I literally never knew what it was the whole time I was there. I just knew it was fancy. And I was like, yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know.
It is a level 10 skill in cooking for Sims. So, you know, Becca and I got pretty high cooking skills.
Wow. Very cool. Huh. Is it the scooping of the ice cream? Is that the hard part? Or?
Yeah, that's the hardest part right there.
There's a episode on Great British Bake Off where they were doing Baked Alaska. And... there was an old lady that couldn't find a place to put her baked Alaska, and so she took another man's cake out of the freezer and put her own in. And safe to say, that's some cinema right there. That was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, there's some. That's drama. That's built in tension.
Yeah, yeah.
That's conflict. That's what drives story forward right
there. It is. So the start of his villain arc.
Yeah. And if you Google Baked Alaska or British Bake Off, there's some pretty funny some images.
I'll have to watch it. They're probably doing a lot better than us. Just the scoop and dump into the bowl is the easiest way, but you can get like super intricate and layer it, and I think that's probably what people get scared of, intimidating, is the layering of each flavor, and not just take a couple or one of your favorite flavors. We did Neapolitan, and just scoop it in there and compact it down. A hidden gem for me. I should have honorable mentioned Neapolitan ice cream. A lot of people sleep on it.
Just pick a side.
Mike, Gotta what's leave. Your number 4?
Whoa, I am once. Okay, sorry, it's live. My number 4 is the movie Secondhand Lions. Anybody?
Does it have Morgan Freeman in it? No, it's those two old white guys. I was thinking the bucket list.
Yes, it's got the two old white guys. It's got I was trying to find their names. It's Michael Keane, the guy who plays Alfred in The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. And then the other old man whose name is escaping me. And I looked up the cast, and I figured it would be Haley Joel Osment, Michael Keane, and then this guy. And he's, like, nowhere to be seen. So I don't know, look it up. Or maybe you can't. I don't know. Go see the movie. Slight disclaimer, I didn't have time to rewatch the whole movie, so I just didn't. But I did look up some of the scenes that I remembered being really good. And it's got a little bit of that late 90s, early 2000s feel good cheese to it. You know, like the story's a little on the nose. It kind of hits the beats that you want it to hit. And I think as a society, we've kind of moved away from those kind of movies. And we like our movies to kind of like kick our hearts in the balls a little bit. This movie doesn't really do that so much. This movie just is a fun adventure and it makes you happy. I'm okay with that sometimes. This was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Basically, you have Haley Joel Osment and he gets dropped off by his mom in maybe the 50s, 60s, somewhere in there. To go, and he's, you know, she drops him to go stay with her, his rich uncles, because she's kind of just like a, she's not a good mom, and she's like, oh, but you know, rumor is your uncles used to do some bank robbing back in the day when they were young, and they're sitting on that fortune. So hey, you know, look for that fortune, kid. And she just takes off, and it's a very touching story because you learn the real story of the uncles' lives. And it starts to inform why they are the way they are. But they also start to learn how to interact with this young boy who has no father figure in his life. And it's just it's a really touching family story, you know, and it, you know, it illustrates the effect that positive male role models can have in a young man's life. And then it's just got some awesome moments. If you're the type who's like, I'm not going to watch this movie, but I'd watch a clip or two. Look up the secondhand lions bar fight. Look up the full thing. It's hilarious. It's so good. And if you like just a nice heartwarming movie, kind of in the vein of like The Sandlot, where it's like, you're not going to get super depressed watching this movie at any point, but like it's good and it's just, it keeps you happy and it tells a good story. I would check it out. I did come across the idea that potentially, the portrayal of the Sheik in the backstory of this movie may be a little stereotypical and too stereotypical for modern preferences. And that's probably a valid concern. So if that's the type of thing that's going to turn you off to a movie, I forgot about that until it was too late. So don't be mad at me, be mad at them. But if it's, that's something that you're able to be like, whatever, it's the 2000s and this is just a fun story, you should be able to get right past it and enjoy the movie.
The intern sent me a text. Hub is played by Robert Duvall.
Thank you.
Thank the intern.
He's texting you now? What the hell?
Thank you, intern.
Someone has to pay his bills.
We gotta allow the intern to have a name soon. Just saying. Intern does such a good job. They deserve
when we reach 5,000 subscribers, people can learn the intern's name.
All right.
Yeah, I've only seen the beginning of it. We were at camp. I think it was the year Lucian was there. Mm-hmm. They were watching it at the down in Pleasant View, and I think there was also an ice cream party at the same time. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not really feeling this because it's all like cramped in this small living room. So I just went up and helped. Do the ice cream party and then got some ice cream and went back to the RTC. So,
yeah, that was probably the play. It's a good movie, but like you want to be able to be comfortable and watch it. Who's next?
It'd be Lou.
All right. I really don't have mine in order. I don't think what's under hidden gem, what's not a hidden gem. I'm going to go for a restaurant in Canton. It's called Matsu-chan. It is favorite ramen spot. It's been open for around 31 years, and it's just nice, wholesome ramen. I think ramen has been popularized, I guess, in the past couple years, and it'd be hard to find a bowl of ramen that's under $20. And if it's in a fancy place like Ann Arbor, you're definitely going to pay like $25, like steak prices. But yeah, it's super cheap. There's only like 10 seats in there, so it has to be a hidden gem, because not too many people can actually sit in there, and there's no takeout. So, yeah, it's a beautiful spot. It's really awesome. They love it when I finish my whole bowl of ramen. They get all smiley in front of me. And, you know, I'm just here to make Asians happy. That's why I'm on this earth. So that's it for me.
What's your go-to order?
It's,
No idea.
Sorry, put me on the spot. It's in Japanese, so I just don't want to share.
Look at the pictures and say that one.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for understanding. I have a certain one. It's like a pork broth. It's delicious, but I'm not pronouncing that on the podcast. I'll say some weird stuff, but I won't say that.
Oh shoot! What's that like intestine lining? Starts with a T.
Chitlins?
Not chiclets.
Sorry, how do you spell chiclets?
Chitlins.
Is it chitlins? I don't know.
Chitlins. But no, it's cool. How do you spell it? I don't know.
Okay.
Trite. Is it trite? Like it starts...
Oh, tripe?
Yeah, trite.
That's more in...
I thought it was a fish.
I think it's like a... It's a pho, but that's what I, you know...
Yeah,
it's I didn't know if that would also be in a ramen. I've never went to a ramen place like that. When cultured. And I'm like... I know it's gonna be better than the 69-cent ramen packets, but my wallet's like, you know, you don't need to spend $20 on ramen.
I believe Arn is, I know he's into cooking and cuisine, but I believe he's into making ramen. I could be wrong.
Ooh.
But next time you see
Arn, if you ever want to cater for the top podcast.
It's a lot of work to make a ramen, especially the broth part of it. It's not easy.
For sure.
We could do a sponsored episode. This episode sponsored by Arn's Ramen.
You think if we went and recorded in that restaurant, they would let us get some free food if we shout them out? Don't tell our view count.
No way.
Oh, that restaurant. I thought you were talking about a hypothetical Arnstein Rand ramen place. I was like, I'm sure we could get some free food if.
No, they don't care. They're like closed. They go back to Japan in the winter, which is like the one time I want ramen the most. They don't care.
I think we've talked about this before. I remember at least maybe off pod we've talked about it, but I've heard that before. It's probably from you.
They don't give a flip. They don't give a beep.
Let us know your favorite ramen orders down in the comments. I'm interested. What should I do? What should I try?
What's your favorite ramen packet?
Dude, I'm so basic. I just get like the beef, but Oriental. Then I'll put some egg in there and everything, some garlic. I try to spruce up a little bit, but not too much. Shout out to the Preston from camp. He's the one that told me about the egg and ramen trick.
Preston actually just texted me about our podcast. That was funny.
Preston listens?
Yeah, man.
Dude, we're getting traction, Preston, in Southwest Michigan. Watch out. Are we the biggest podcast in Jones? Maybe.
Per person,
you know, we have the best percentage of listenership there.
Highest population of podcast per capita, listeners per pig.
Yeah, per, oh gosh.
Per pig.
So my number four is an old game. It came out in 2003 on the PC, PS2, and Xbox, and it is Jurassic Park Operation Genesis. Now, this is your typical roller coaster tycoon thing where you can, you know, you make your park, you can have different exhibits and everything. But if you're a young gun like me who would just so happen to accidentally delete the park entrances and then have the T-Rex or Spinosaurus fence go out, you know, crazy stuff can happen. So my sick-minded, because, you know, like roller coaster tycoon, people would drown like people in the waters, like the employees. But this one is actually dinosaurs running around just eating up, like, anyone and everyone. And, like, even the dinosaurs are fight over who they can maul. But it is just such a – I haven't played it in a long time, but it was such a fun game. And I just like the havoc you can do. And then, like, I would go for a while, like, until you hit your objective for the story missions. And then, of course, everything's getting deleted. And it's just pure chaos. And I loved every second of it. I think they tried to reboot it recently, like, something similar. But I – did not hear any good reviews from it.
Jurassic Park Murder Simulator.
Yep.
So that's like the equivalent of, like, you know, when you're playing blocks with a little kid and they're just like, I just want to knock it over. That's what that makes me think of, is Rob just being like, I'm going to kill them all.
I had those dark urges as a kid, you know, just murder them all. burn them all.
Mom, what's an intrusive thought?
Just go downstairs, baby. Go downstairs, please. You hear the door lock.
Yeah. I don't think in 2003 people were talking about intrusive thoughts like that.
Probably not.
Mike, what's your number three?
My number three is... Ooh, that's right. This is a good one. The book Treasure Box by Orson Scott Card. This is nothing like Ender's Game, and that is okay. I've never met another human who's read this book not on my recommendation. I found it in a Value World in Westland, Michigan, with a beat-up old cover, so somebody probably read it. And I was like, oh, I like Orson Scott Card. I'll give this a try. It's like 89 cents or whatever. And the book follows Quentin Fierce. It's spelled F-E-A-R-S. So like fears, but it's pronounced fierce. And Orson Scott Card just likes to do little clever things. Or clever. I don't even know if that's clever. But he likes to do a little play on words like that. Anyway, it starts off, Quentin's sister dies. She's had an accident. She is literally brain dead. And they're like, okay, if we pull the plug, we can save a lot of lives with organ donation. And Quentin never really gets over it. And so, like, you have this haunting specter of his sister's memory. And then it's this love story. He meets this woman after he's an adult and he's become very successful. And it's just, it's very interesting because you're the whole time you're like, I want this to succeed. I want this relationship to work, but something's wrong. I just can't put my finger on it. And let me tell you, you will never successfully put your finger on it. I got to the point where the reveal happens and you start to see, okay, here's what's going on. And, I was reading outside of Life Church Canton because I had finished my shift early and I just had a lot of time to kill before Integrate that night. That was the small group that Rob and I were a part of. And so I was just like sitting on a bench and I closed the book and I just walked aimlessly around the parking lot for like 20 minutes until people started showing up. I was just like, whoa. Now I was probably 19. I don't think it's as mind blowing now as I did then. But it's still a really good pseudo love story, thriller, multiple kind of genres colliding type story. And it's a great way to get some top topper points, just saying.
How long is it?
It's like average paperback. It's about the same length as Ender's Game. I did not think to check the Audible. I will do that real quick and get back with you guys. If anybody else has anything to say, otherwise we can just move on and I'll chime in
later.
It's
just under 10 hours.
Never mind. Rob's got it.
Rob or the intern?
The intern, of course.
Well, the intern's got Rob.
As soon as like you mentioned something, he's doing research and everything. Or they, sorry, I can't just have you guys assume. I haven't actually asked the intern what they prefer to be called yet, so.
I am a god. Intern, stop. No.
Intern does have a god complex this podcast. Lou, what's your number three?
My number three is something I'm very passionate about and makes me feel very old, but I love Hokas. What? I think it's a hidden gem. Sue me if you know about Hokas and you're like, Hokas is like a super popular shoe. Compared to Nikes and Jordans, Hockers? No freaking way. Hokas. H-O-K-A.
I feel like I already always said Hakas, but yeah, that probably could be.
Well, you guys are high.
That with that popular with the employees there, could be likely.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Hokas, Hakas, Hakachakas.
Doesn't matter.
I really don't know. Doesn't matter. I have super wide feet. I wear a size 14 triple wide, and it's hard to find a good shoe. If you look at my feet, it kind of looks like it's starting the Chinese foot binding situation, because I always wear shoes that were too small for my feet. And Hokas is just where it's at. It's like walking on marshmallows. It makes me feel really good.
Is it sticky like walking on marshmallows, or is it just fluffy?
Mike, you're on my list today, man.
Sorry, I woke up this morning and chose feisty.
Sassy. El caliente. Pantalones del fuego. yeah.
In yeah, what says kind of shit do you guys how wear? It's phonetically it'd be hauka. So hauka.
They can eat my
whoa. Don't tell the intern that. They're gonna quit. Then what would we do? Yeah, we look so foolish. They make us look so good.
I was gonna say, intern's been killing it today.
Interns have to the intern. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, intern. Mike's been mean to me. Hurt people. That's just the truth. So
All I'm hearing is that you're not denying that Hokas are a very sticky shoe.
Hauka.
Sorry, Hauka.
You got stock, homie? What the hell are you doing? Sorry.
Peddling.
What the are you doing? But yes, put the shoe on. You'll never want to go back. What kind of shoes do you guys wear?
Tim's. I wear a white canvas pair of sneakers that I purchased for $10 at a Target.
Timberland Pros, no biggie.
I feel so sorry for your knees. What'd you say, Robert?
Timberland Pros, no biggie.
Oh, look at you.
But when I'm on the streets, it's I frick with the verse, you know.
Yeah, baby.
What verse?
Converse.
Oh, Converse.
And Lou, yeah. For what it's worth, my knees are definitely already severely.
It's the 22 miles a day you're riding.
Yeah, it gets some support. Lord,
I don't think does your shoe support play a factor in your knee affecting like when biking?
You're biking, yeah. I mean, anything would like because that's where you're putting most of your power into your force. So if it's don't have good support, it's gonna mess up.
That makes sense.
Ergonomics is crazy. Like even if you have one thing in your front pocket, just one in one of your front pockets, like you could be messing up your posture when driving and things for long road trips. It's crazy. Or so my safety guy says. I don't.
These are flat shoes. They're very much just like a Converse All-Star. Just, you know, they're not a name brand. And they're also a little more yellow at this point than they are white. But they were crisp when I first got them, man.
You're not trying to keep your white kicks white?
I did for a while, but I'm not good at it.
All right, tangent. Do you guys like keeping your shoes clean, or do you like them getting dirty? Because like Becca loves dirty Converse. I'm like, I want to try to keep them clean for a long time. At some point, I'll just say screw it.
And depends on the shoe. Like I prefer my white shoe to be crisp, but these ones, I'm just like, at some point, I'm just gonna get like a white shoe that isn't canvas, and that'll be way easier to keep clean. But I prefer a little bit of rough and tear on my Converse. I like them to look a little worn in. Same with Vans. I don't like them too crisp, personally.
How about you, Lou?
I don't care.
All right.
I got other things to worry about.
Not a sneakerhead over here.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'm far from a sneakerhead. I'd say.
I guess mowing lawns, you just get used to your shoes kind of being...
Robert, I haven't mowed a lawn professionally for so many years, and you keep going back to it.
Well, he
loves to mow lawns, and he loves sports.
Yep.
He likes to be touched roughly.
Well, I'm just saying that was like your formative years, so you're going to be forming a lot of your opinions. You know, you're working a lot because you freaking worked like a madman during that time. So
now you're just stroking my ego. Now you're making me feel blushy.
Yeah, you know. Just trying to get back in good graces. I don't want to be like Mike on this pod, you know. I've seen what you were throwing his way.
I mean,
do your worst. I'm ready. Yeah.
Mike Who's thrives next? Off of hate street.
Who's next?
It was me because the whole style with the Haukas.
Haukas.
Oh yeah.
My number three is a indie rock/folk band called Mount Joy. They're, I think, based out of the West Coast, but less than 500,000 subs on YouTube. But that's the band I went to see at Red Rock Amphitheater, and that show was packed out. So I guess maybe just all the fans travel to that show because it's a decent size venue. But songs you might know by them is Astro Van in the Silver Lining is their biggest song. It was certified gold. But other than that, it's just fun. They kind of even have like a psychedelic rock twinge to them. And they're just it's a fun band, especially if you see them live. They kind of have like a jam band persona where they just like riff off each other. And that was cool to see. It's the first time I've seen that. And the lead singer's got a great voice and all the instrumentalists are very talented at what they do. So I recommend going and check them out if you like indie rock.
Sorry, I was muting myself and trying to listen to the song, and I'm guessing Lucian's doing the same thing right now, so I'll just jump in.
Astrovan or Silver Linings?
Astrovan was the one I went with, and it was a jam for the first 4 seconds, let me tell you.
Ooh, there we go. It's the Vine equivalent, so the Lemon Law of Vine of music. 5 seconds, that's all you get.
I was sold. For 5 seconds, I'd listen to the whole song.
What's the band called again?
Mount Joy. M.T. Joy.
Oh, I like Mount Joy.
There we go.
I like Mount Joy quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Solid band.
I like Julia's my favorite.
Julia's a good one.
I like Julia quite a bit. Yeah.
Where singer really does uses his pipes in that song.
That makes me...
Whoa.
All over myself.
Mike, why did you install this sound effect?
I think
doomed us.
I think it's paying dividends very quickly, personally, but that's just me.
I've had to censor myself for too long, gosh.
All right, I was going to do something, but I don't want to overkill. Mike, what's your number two?
Oh man, that made me so deliriously happy. Sorry. All right, getting back to it. There is a restaurant. I believe it's on West Maple Street in Farmington Hills. It's a little bit north of 14 Mile and Haggerty, called the Uptown Grill. Grill is spelled with an E at the end. I think that makes it fancy. They have something there called Mediterranean nachos.
Ooh. Oh, I see it right now. Oh my
dude. Lord. First of all, the plate is as big as your head.
For $15 too. That's
Massive. It is easily enough for two people that aren't.
I feel like a regular plate's the size of my head, but
I was thinking like Lou's head back when he had the big old plate.
And those pita chips are actual.
They're regular chips. There's, I think there's a blend of cheese, but there's enough feta that you can tell. We got it with chicken. I'd have also been down to have it with Euro meat if that was an option. But chicken. Yeah, sure. That's great. And then they basically put like a Greek salad on it. So there's like lettuce and onion and tomato and, you know, olives and peppers and Greek salad dressing, which I've literally never had in my life until I had these nachos. And dude,
too many vegetables for Robert, but I'd be down.
So good. For the price, maybe the best nachos I've ever had. If you're in the area, check them out. They're freaking delicious.
Is it in their app? Oh yeah, there it is. Let's see. Do you go with beef, chicken, or pulled pork? Sorry, I think you said that, but
I went with chicken. I think the beef is like ground beef and not like a shawarma meat, you know?
Yeah, I would remove like four of those things.
Yeah, I expected to be a lot more picky about it than I was, but it was like, it just blended together. You ever have a Reuben? Like the sandwich?
I'm not a big Reuben guy, but...
The things on a Reuben shouldn't go together. They make no sense, but just something about them, I think, just magically... Like, it's like it's more than the sum of its parts. And things that I didn't think I would ever want coalesced into this beautiful culinary moment. And the same goes for these nachos. Things that I was like, I'm going to pick off the tomatoes. But I was splitting them with somebody, and it was like, all right, I'm not going to be picky. I'll just eat around them. And I didn't pick a single thing off. It was majestic.
Yeah, olives and tomatoes are a texture thing for me, so I wouldn't be able to.
The olives were just like right on the, they were practically a garnish on the top middle, so they were actually really easy to, to work around.
What's the pepper, I'm not gonna even
pepperoncinis.
Pepperoncinis? What's a pepperoncini?
It's like the little pepper that goes on the side of a Greek salad.
I've seen a Greek salad? Come on, Mike. Come on. You know what you're talking about here?
I'm not saying you've ordered a Greek salad, but you've gone out to eat with other people sometimes.
Papa John's
pizza. Papa John's pizzas. Yep, they all come with a...
The pepper? Okay, yeah. Yep, Thank you. That's something I can relate to. You start talking about salad, I'm out.
I've never ordered a Greek salad in my life either, but I've seen people do it, you know.
All right, Lee, what's your number two?
What's my number two? I was doing research on my number two. It's okay.
It's why we have an intern, Lou.
Got me out here laughing. So my number two is a video game. It's called Risk of Rain 2. Have you guys heard of this?
I've heard the first one. I didn't know they made a second one.
They made a second one. So it's a third-person roguelike game. It is not a perfect game by any means. But I think that there's other different roguelike games that get a lot of popularity. And I think this one should be in that spot as well. I'm trying to think of other roguelike games that people absolutely adore.
Rogue Legacy was pretty big.
Rogue Legacy.
I'm really digging the graphical style, though.
I like Balatro. Could have been one.
Hades is the one I was thinking of.
Hades is a pretty good time. I have it on Switch. And like most games I have on Switch, I wish I had got it on PlayStation 5.
Or Steam Deck.
Steam Deck.
I'm definitely not saying any of these games are bad by any means, like Hades or Dead Cells. These games are definitely a little bit better, but I think Risk of Rain is up there for some people, and I think it's a solid game. You're pretty much just trying to get out of an alien spaceship. Not spaceship, but an alien world. And you're trying to get back into your spaceship. And it's like different levels, and you can make builds that make you become literally untouchable. And it's really fun. It's a good time.
Nice. I like the premise, too. That sounds good.
I didn't realize it was a roguelike. I thought it was like a survival
Metroid-esque
game.
It is a little Metroid-esque. Yeah. I was gonna put Metroid on this, a little underrated, since I just beat that game.
Oh, my goodness.
But
I would have given you crap.
Yeah, people know about it too much. But it is probably one of the most undersold.
I'd say it's deeply underrated for, like, the people Nintendo. Who love it, love it.
Yeah,
but then everybody else seems to just not care.
If it wasn't for Smash Bros, I'd say you could do it, but because that's where most people know Metroid
from. For sure, that's fair. Yeah, I think it's underrated, but not a hidden gem. I think those are different things.
I would agree with that. Both of those takes.
It's not often, but I do appreciate
it. I love Metroid. Just thinking about it makes me happy.
There were some BS moments in the last game, though, that I was like, this is...
Yeah, Dread definitely had some...
Does it just make you go... all on the ground?
There it is!
It made me toss... It made me toss the controller in front of my wife. It made me look like a little child. Like, I haven't done this.
That's something that grinds my gears. People would throw my controller or drop my controller. Whew, grinds my gears. Which boss was it, Lou? I think Mike asked.
Oh, which boss? It wasn't a boss. It was the big bad robot that could spit electricity across the map and freeze you.
Oh yes, the Emmys. Yeah, those last couple ones were absolute. Horse.
It's like if you run an idea, don't come up with bad ideas just to keep it going. Like, come on.
Nope.
Yeah, it was a little too hot. Like, it was like, okay, this is getting difficult to the point of not being fun anymore. But luckily, it overstayed its welcome, but just a smidge, you know?
Yeah, one more and I would have been like, all right, I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Like, they got me right at the end. That final boss was perfect. Oh,
it
was so good. Beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so my number two, move us along here, came out in 2008. It started out as a three-part web series featuring Neil Patrick Harris, Nathan Fallion, and Felicia Day. Can I help you, Luke?
No, just this is like the third time you're talking about it. But no, that's cool. I mean, you love your wife. I get it. You love your wife.
Have I talked about this on the podcast? I couldn't remember, but...
Oh, you have, but it's making it better, so continue.
Anyways, it's only about 40-ish minutes, and it won an Emmy for short films. It is called Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. It's a film.
Objection! Are you serious or no? Oh, okay.
This is going to be a running gag for the whole year. Get used to it.
It's a film about a small-time bad guy trying to join the evil league of evil, but his nemesis, Captain Hammer, always seems to be able to stop him before his plans can be carried out. It's crazy, funny, and has catchy songs, but it doesn't take itself too seriously. But just so you guys know going into it, it is a short film. I was not told that, so when it got to the end, I'm like, what, that was it? So I actually kind of have a sour taste in my mouth the first time I saw it, because everyone was like hyping this up to be some grand thing at camp when we watched it, and it's a fantastic movie. It just was not what I expected, so it kind of caught me off guard, and I didn't like it at first, but man, I love it now, and not too many people know about it. I guess I've talked about it on this pod, I thought I had, but Becca was like, no, you should still talk about it, and I love my wife, like Lou said, so shout out to Becca. It's one of the first things... It's one of the first things we bonded over when we were dating. I think we listened to the soundtrack on our first date and everything. So, would recommend. It used to be on YouTube. I don't know if you still can watch it anymore. But if you even get on Amazon and get the DVDs cheap. And one thing that's fun for the DVD release, they had fans send them the like audition tapes for the Evil League of Evil. And there's also some hidden gems in there too.
Out of curiosity, was Robbie heavily involved in the group of people who wanted you to see this?
Yes, he may have been leading the charge.
Yeah, I had a sneak.
And his future wife.
Yep, that would have been my second guess. Shout out Robbie and Sarah.
Yep, they went up to the pack. If they would have just told me it was a 45-minute movie, it would have just... I was expecting, yeah. So I'd just go in there knowing, short film. The older I get, the more I realize expectations will mean a lot for me if I enjoy something or not. All right,
that's
Mike.
Fair, man. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good. What's your number one?
My number one is an artist. He has 7 songs on Spotify, and I struggle immensely to pronounce the name of said artist, but I'm going to give it a shot. It's a Greek word. Poieo. Poieo. And he does covers. He definitely does some covers of existing worship songs. He might have some of his own original worship songs in there, but I don't know. I just know I haven't heard them by anybody else, but also some of the other songs are covers. So if I had to guess, I'd say they're all covers. Now that that's out of the way, what he does, and what I've always found it hard to find good worship music, like there's this like thing in the mainstream worship music industry machine where it's like all of these songs have to just be these slow builds, and like there's not a lot of interesting actual music going on, and I think one of the things that really really masterfully done worship music has going for it is you can use the music to create emotional responses in a person that can enhance the idea you're trying to talk about in your lyrics, right? And if worship music is done very, very well, the lyrics and the music are working in concert, if you will, to really just bring out this full experience. And I don't think you get a lot of that in a lot of mainstream worship. This guy just comes in and it's like shred guitar, crazy drums, and like just like it's borderline metal while still feeling like worship music and still having the music complement what's going on and work in, you know, in tandem with the lyrics. And it's just, it's super, super good music. While also just like taking these songs where I've always been like, no, I like the lyrics, I just, it's so boring, and it just elevates them to this whole new plane. You can check out the whole EP in like 25 minutes. And if you're into heavier rock music, you'd really dig it. I am very confident, Lou, that you would dig it. It kind of reminds me musically, specifically the guitar of Alter Bridge a little bit, early Alter Bridge. Rob, I have no idea if you'd like it or not, but yeah, check it out.
When you say metal, do you mean like 80s metal, 89s metal, or like 2000s metal? Very different thing. I guess it's heavy metal.
It's not like heavy chugging metal. It's more like shred, but like the drums and the instrumentation are closer to like a post-hardcore. Maybe like a Pierce the Veil style of drumming.
I do like some post-hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, check it out. Get back to us next week. Let us know what you think. But
you have to text me the name because I don't remember how to spell
it. Yeah. I'll toss it in the group chat, or I'll toss it on the Discord. Everybody can check it out.
Join our Discord. Link in the description in the general, and you can check it out.
That's how you plug a Discord, baby.
Mm. Boom.
I'm killing this.
Stuff. He said stuff. Well, Lou, what's your number one?
My number one is a book written in 2014. It is a dystopian science fiction novel by an author named Pierce Brown. It is Red Rising. I was going to say choir boy, but that's not it.
Fanboy? Fangirl?
I am a little fanboy for this book. I love this series. I read all three books in about 2 months. It has reignited my reading. I've gotten into reading, especially the Bible, but I needed just like a man book. And I was just walking around. What's that super popular bookstore called?
Barnes & Noble.
I was walking around Burr Barnes & Noble, and I just saw it. And I saw it just on a table, and I was like, this looks cool. Because back in the day, I wanted to get... Fun fact, back in the day, my first tattoo, I wanted to get wings on my back. Thank God I didn't
classic
do that.
Classic late 2000s.
I know. Thank God I didn't do that. But I was super thinking about it. So I've always been into like bird wings, and that's pretty much the cover of the book. And I just picked it up randomly, and it is I'm lost for words. I'm a fanboy. It is I want to say like an acid trip or a fever trip or it is like the Indiana Jones of books, just packed with action. It's a lot of it's described as Hunger Games mixed with Game of Thrones, and I'm for that. I like it. I think I'm a little bit worried when you compare two popular books to another book because it doesn't give it justice, but it has elements of both, and I am just all for it. And all three books, the second book, just like most sequels for me, I'm a sequel guy, so the second book just absolutely just blew it out of the water, and then the third book just perfectly landed the plane. And, gosh, yeah. I explained this to one of my coworkers a couple weeks ago, and I've never been embarrassed in my entire life. But I'm for it. As many as people that get to know about Red Rising, I would like you to know it.
Rob's father-in-law is actually a big proponent of that book. The scene he pitched to me when he was telling me about it is you get the main character, and they put him in like a small room with another character. And lock the door, and they're like, all right, only one of you come out alive. And I was like, oh, okay. This book's not messing around.
The kid that he kills end up being his best friend's brother.
Oh.
Spoiler. And then he has to carry... And then,
Lou, I want to read these books.
It's in, like, the first couple chapters. Be cool. and then he has to, like, be friends with this guy, knowing that he killed his brother. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is so good. I might just reread them now. Screw it. Run it again.
Screw whatever Kings you're listening to. The non-Way of Kings, Way of Kings you're reading.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You're good.
I thought I did, but I did not. I bought Emerald something from him.
Oh, Tress in the Emerald Sea?
Yeah, I bought that one from him.
Becca really likes that one.
Does she? Cool. Yeah. That'll be the next thing I'm reading. I'm reading about a space book.
Ooh.
That's been fun.
Yeah. Isn't there, for Red Rising, isn't it like a color-based magic system?
Yeah, if I explain it, so that's the time where I explain it to my coworker, and I can literally saw her just boot down. But yeah, so it
sounds interesting.
It is super cool. So pretty much the golds are the superhumans, and then it goes from silver all the way down to red, who are pretty much the slaves. And the main characters are red that
rises.
Then he rises. Yep. Wow, I didn't even thought about that. Good stuff.
Yeah, I this is on my list of books to read, so I'm definitely down. I might take Coral, or I might, have a problem with it being a hidden gem, but, you know, hey. That could just be me.
I think in the realm of, yes, it has like 2 million copies sold for sure. Definitely into it.
Almost half a million ratings on Goodreads.
Yes, totally down. But I'm comparable. Hey man,
let's encourage Lou's literacy.
I know, right? Hey, go for it. It's more just the hidden gem I was taking.
That was too real. Yikes. That was too real. I'm shot hardcore fired. I'm so sorry that you might have to edit that laugh out, Robert.
That's fine. Hey, it's your laugh.
Wow.
I cackle on here sometimes. It's okay.
Ooh, boy. Oop. I was getting a little nervous, guys. A couple years ago, I was like, do I know how to read or do I just memorize a couple words? And I'm just really winging it from here. Yikes. Yes. In the span, same thing with Hokas. Millions of people buy Hokas, but nobody knows about them comparable to, like, Nike. Same thing with Red Rising. Nobody knows Red Rising compared to, like, Hunger Games or freaking Game of Thrones or Twilights. And I think it is at least on par with Game of Thrones. So
it's a weird thing. I think of it as super well-known, but in actuality, the people who've told me about it are Rob's father-in-law, Dylan, Lucas, Seth, Dan, like all now Lou, all people that come from one specific pool, you know,
which Dan? Like,
Life Church guy,
Life, yeah,
Funny Bunny Man, don't do last Dan, names here.
Bunny Man, Dan,
that you have his costume,
the man.
Oh, I know Dan, Yeah. As soon as you said the man, wow, that's good stuff.
Yeah, maybe just because I'm in, like, more fantasy, like, literal circles that, yeah, I hear a lot about it. So I'm excited to read it. And we'll see if it lives up to Game of Thrones. Or, sorry, A Song of Ice and Fire, sir, if you want to get technical. Game of Thrones is a TV show. No.
Okay. Right, I'll stop. It's called Hokas, not Hokas.
It's Hauka.
It's Hauka.
According to the intern. Halfway through this episode, Lou was like, that's it. I'm just coming out swinging the rest of this thing.
Taken enough of this for too long.
I'm happy at the pod. I was about to text you guys to be like, I'm dead. You have to call me tomorrow.
Dude, I get that feeling. I've had so many of those nights where, like, I'm so glad I did it, but I was just like, oh, I don't feel it right now.
All right. Well, maybe I shouldn't have given Lou so much crap about that, because my number one is also similar, where in our neck of the woods, everyone knows about it. Everyone's been there. But from a worldwide standpoint, even like a few states out of the radius, no one has been there and like thinks it's completely different than what it is. But my number one hidden gem is the Great Lakes.
I was going to guess it.
And if you're outside of any like state that borders the Great Lakes, you may have heard of them. You might be able to name one or two of them, probably just one. But most people think they're just, you know, they're big lakes, but they're just, you know, small.
They're not big lakes, they're small oceans.
Yeah, but they are just inland oceans of fresh water, and they're amazing. They have some of the most beautiful spots in the world, like Pictured Rocks, Isle Royale. Haven't been there, but I've seen pictures, and it's beautiful. Just all along, I know Mike's more of a fan of Lake Huron, but yeah, to each their own. And really anything but Lake Erie. You're gonna have a good time. Lake Erie might find some bodies, but for the most part, you're just gonna go be able to drift in this clean, great fresh water, and it's just indescribable. If you haven't seen a Great Lake, you have to go and see it. It is, you can't see the other side of it, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's weird growing up going to Great Lakes. Like, it's like a weird thing to me when, like, people are like, don't realize you can't see across to the other side. I didn't know that wasn't normal for a lake for a long time.
Yeah, I think some of Becca co-workers like Lake Superior. Yeah, you can probably see the other side. No, you can't. Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Maybe if you're like in Duluth in the cove there, you know, the cape there, whatever it is. Lou, what's your favorite Great Lake? Do you have a preference?
I'm not saying the lakes are overrated. I just don't think anybody has shown me any of the good stuff yet.
That's actually a good way of saying that.
That's fair. Do you care about swimming in the lakes? Just out of curiosity, is that like a big thing?
So don't go
to Superior. It's gonna be freezing cold. You probably won't like that.
That's fair.
I think Superior is the most beautiful, but it's, you know, freezing almost all year round.
I mean, they're all a little cold just because they're such large bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
And they're far enough north that they don't get like the warm up at the equator. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is Sleeping Bear Dunes next to a...
That's Michigan.
I
want to
say that's off Lake Michigan, yeah.
Okay, so that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that.
I hate walking up the dunes, though.
We went to Sleeping Bear on our honeymoon, and it was in like we went late for our honeymoon. And we went on like October, and we were like, "We're gonna swim."
Gosh,
we like 10 minutes, and we're like, "All right, that's it, we're done," and just never got back in the water.
And for camp, they would take we'd go to like Michigan for like a day. That's where camp goes as well.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. It was cool. Not serving. What else? What's the other one? Singing, worshiping. That's the word. I went to church before. It was good worshiping. It was good worshiping. Near the lake. It was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to have a lake house.
My favorite story from Attack, I wasn't even there for it, but Andrew tells this story all the time. You do something on a boat in the water. Is it canoeing, kayaking?
Usually it's canoeing, and it varies kind of year to year. Whenever I went to Attack, it was just a river.
Yeah, so when Andrew was a student, he Dylan was a counselor, and the two of them were in the same canoe, and it just kept tipping. Like, and Dylan was like, "Dude, come on, you're killing me here." And Andrew got so fed up that he actually switched to a different canoe. And he was like, "Yeah, it was all his fault. Like, Dylan sucks at canoeing. We were fine the whole rest of the time." And like, he told me this story, he was so worked up. And the next time I told Dylan, I was like, "Do you have any like recollection of this?" And he just got this big grin on his face. He was like, "Yeah, dude, he got so mad. I just kept tipping the boat on purpose and then blaming him."
Not surprised.
I was like, "No, that fits. That fits both of their personalities to a T." It was just like a perfect storm.
So let us know down in the comments if you've been to a Great Lake. Which one's your favorite? If you've been to multiple, or which ones have you been to? If you've only been to one, you guys have any honorable mentions?
Dude, it was hard to come up with five, honestly. I thought it would be a cakewalk. But every time I thought of something cool, I was like, maybe too many people that.
We say Mountain Blade Warband. It's a kind of an older game for the PC. Really fun game. It's just a medieval sandbox that you can basically do anything you want.
That's fair.
Fun game.
I'm sure I've talked about it on the pod briefly before, but the Freddy Fish games, man. Mm. Those ones are fun.
More of a putt-putt fan myself, but.
Putt-putt's good too. They're point and click adventure game. They're really laid back.
That's an old one.
Yeah, we're getting Jo a Switch for her birthday, a Switch Lite. And one of the two games I made sure she had on there, I think technically it's coming from Becca and Rob. It's the Freddy Fish collection. It's all five Freddy Fish games.
But not Putt-putt? Man, I want our money back.
She prefers Freddy Fish, and also there was like there's not a putt-putt collection, so it was like $45 for five Freddy Fish games, or like $15 a game for putt-putt.
Worth it.
Yeah.
Quality over
also
quantity.
No joke, I think the putt-putt games are actually a little harder, and so she, because I have a putt-putt game on my Switch, and she would get stuck on it way faster and get really frustrated, so I was like, stick to good old Freddy Fish.
That's fair. Just because he looks like Flounder from Little Mermaid.
Yeah. It's actually a she.
She.
Yeah, I had no idea for the longest time.
Flounder or Freddy?
Freddy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A Steam Deck? most people are sleeping on the Steam Deck. Would recommend if you don't have the money for a PC. It's a lot better Switch. And you can emulate the mess out of it. Allegedly.
Allegedly. I would definitely, if you're trying to decide between the two, get the Steam Deck over a PS Portal. But I picked up a PS Portal a couple weeks ago when I sold the moped. And that thing's pretty fun. It's basically, you just need a Wi-Fi connection and you can remote play your PlayStation from anywhere you have a Wi-Fi connection.
Okay, so you still have to have the PlayStation though, right?
Yeah, you still need you still need to have a physical PlayStation. So I at that point, it's like, if it's between get a I don't know, if it's like, if you're choosing between a PS5, but you can port the there's like, you can HDMI the Steam Deck into a TV.
Yeah, you
right?
can get a dock.
Yeah, it'd be a close call, honestly. I might go Steam Deck.
Yeah, I would go Steam Deck, 100%.
Yeah, well, I think, to kind of move us along here, we briefly talked about what our deep dive for next week. Are we good with talking about PlayStation 2? That's the only one we, you know, had any really input in. Yeah, so join us next week where we dive deep into the most popular video game console of all time, PlayStation 2. So we'd kind of talk about our experiences with it, our favorite games, and life. Yeah. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, you know?
I was hanging out with Andrew and our buddy Joe Saturday for the Michigan Slaughter. And then Joe played some Astros. I don't know. It's the game that came preloaded on the PS5. And you can run around in this, like, old... it's like part of the game where it's just like a giant museum of old PlayStation artifacts. And it was actually really trippy seeing a bunch of the old PS2 stuff. I was like, I forgot all about this. And then Rob was like, what, do you guys want to do PS2? And I was like, perfect timing.
Yeah. So on the Steam Deck, going back to that, you can like, it's so customizable. It blows my mind how customizable it is. But you can like customize the sounds, like the background music. So I have the cursor and all that's the GameCube sounds. So like, you, whenever you're in the menu, it makes those sounds. But then the background ambience is the PlayStation 2 ambience music. So it's like hitting both nostalgia waves in my brain, and I like it. Well, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a like, comment, subscribe. Let us know an answer to any one of our many questions. Let Lou know how else he should use the bleep function, because I don't think he has enough ways. If you're listening on Spotify, check the comments. I know my wife and Cantwell have both left some comments on Spotify. See what's going on. Get that discussion going. Give us a 5-star review and leave a comment on that as well. And we'll read the review off on the podcast. Same with Apple Podcasts. But other than that, hope you guys have a great week. We'll catch you next time, and go Lions.
Peace out, mother.
Of course.
Goodbye.